My guest will show you shocking video footage of a woman who was groomed from birth to be a bride of Satan. Before her supernatural encounter with God, her eyes were completely black, no white showing, and she had occultic power to open doors without touching them.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest has been on It's Supernatural previously, Darren Wilson. He comes from a nice evangelical, non-supernatural background, and he filmed from all over the world the most supernatural film you'll ever see. It's called Finger of God. And you know, I'll never forget, what was it, your aunt that got the gold tooth?
Yeah, my aunt and uncle.
At that time, in your paradigm of what is Christianity, that must have rocked your world.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with it. And I still, to be honest with you, I still don't know what to do with it. I mean, I think anybody, and I think they're still kind of shocked.
If I was going to cast someone in the role of filming the supernatural, it'd be you. It'd be, God did a good job.
Well, thank you.
and I love the story. I mean, here this guy doesn't even believe in the supernatural. So his whole family goes out to the Toronto Airport Church where there's a move of God's spirit. And he goes reluctantly. And a guy gets up and he starts saying, there's an angel inside this auditorium. What did you think?
I thought he was either crazy or lying. I thought, when are they going to pass the basket to give this guy money? And it was just one of those things where I'm like, this is why I don't like this place. This is why I don't like, you know, this type of Christianity or whatever. I just wasn't comfortable, and I just didn't think it was true.
But then what happened?
Then I met him. I met this angel who, about 5 minutes later, I had my eyes closed and the angel passed right by me and I opened my eyes. I didn't see anything. Closed my eyes. There he is. And he came up to me and he spoke to me and he asked me 3 times, are you ready? And I didn't really know what he was talking about. I knew that about 5 months before I'd kind of gotten this idea to make this weird little movie about the strange things that Christians believe. He said, are you ready 3 times? And I said, yes, not knowing exactly what I was saying yes to. And then at the third time I said, ready for what? And he said, make that movie. And that was kind of what pushed me out the door. I thought I was making a little short film and it turned into something bigger.
And I have to tell you, I saw that movie. I love that movie. In fact, I'm in that movie. I expected the next movie to be the same type of movie. Yeah. And actually, when I heard the title, I said, Furious Love. Yeah. I wonder what Darren is up to. And so you met a mutual friend of ours, uh-huh, Heidi Baker, and she prophesied something over you.
Yeah, that's what started this one. I was actually had just finished filming Finger of God. Mm-hmm. And we were in Istanbul, Turkey. And I was just worried about how I was going to put this Finger of God together. The last thing on my mind was any kind of a sequel or follow-up or anything. And so she started to pray for me because I was starting to kind of freak out a little bit because I had all this footage and I didn't know what to do with it. So she's praying for me. Right in the middle of her prayer, she gets really uncomfortable. And I'm not used to seeing Heidi uncomfortable. She's usually pretty confident and knows what she's doing. And she was seeing something in the spirit that was making her a little wary. And she finally said, I'm just going to tell you what I see as I'm praying for you. I see you filming the occult.
That's the last thing I would think you'd want to be doing.
My first thought was, uh-oh. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? And she said, I see I actually see you filming the demonic. And I don't know exactly how to take that. And then she said, this is what the Lord says. You have to go into the darkness to show the light.
But you didn't really understand this prophetic word till you went back to that crazy church, the Toronto Airport Church, and you're sitting there minding your own business, and what happened?
I'm in the middle of worship. The last thing I'm thinking about is anything relating to film, and literally I get pushed back into my seat. And I felt, looking back now, I think it was just, Lord, like, really, I want your attention. So I was literally, just this force kind of pushed me back into my chair. And he spoke really, really clear to me. And he said, you need to do two things. You need to show that there is a war and that it's real, a war between light and darkness. And then I need you to show that the only way we can win this war is through love. And that's all he told me. And as soon as I heard that, I understood what Heidi's prayer meant, and I understood what my marching orders were for this next film.
Your marching orders were?
To go make a film about love.
But how do you make a film about something called love?
Well, that's the question, and I kept getting that over and over again. When I said, yeah, making a movie about God's love. And they said, well, how do you film that?
Yeah.
You know, and my wonderful answer to them was, I don't know.
Okay, he goes out to the place I think about where witchcraft, with the trials and everything, the Salem, Massachusetts. He goes to a New Age, occult type of witchcraft type of festival. Why did you go there?
Because I thought it'd be a good idea, and I wanted to go pick a fight. Basically, because I figured, hey,
you're a believer in the Messiah. What do you want to pick a fight? You're a nice evangelical.
I'm also a filmmaker, and so I wanted to. I figure, I'm making this movie about the clash between light and dark. Let's go to this place, and let's go to a place where, you know, they celebrate the darkness, and let's just go in there with our cameras blazing, and I'll go with Jason Westerfield, who was a friend of mine who's in my first movie. And let's just go see what God does. And I'm thinking what's going to happen is it's going to be manifestations everywhere, and they're going to get really angry and try to kick us out. It's going to be great.
Listen, I have seen Jason in operation, and this man walks in tremendous prophecy and signs and wonders, and all day long, nothing. He's praying for people. Nothing. You even put it on film. But then a man and a couple of his buddies in a red hood comes there. You had set up your, what was the purpose when he walked up to you?
Well, what we had done, you have to understand, what we had done all day, we were praying for people, and we're sneaking around, okay? Like, I'm using, we're hiding the camera and all this other stuff. And we're trying to, like, sneak up on people, and it's just not working. And God's not answering any of our prayers, and nobody's getting healed, nothing. And so we realized we're doing something wrong. And so we said, let's just make a spectacle of ourselves and put the camera in the middle and let people come to us. And that's exactly what we did. And so one of the first people that came to us.
Listen, this person with the red hood, this guy's a witch. Imagine what's about ready to happen. Don't go away. They'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Darren Wilson. Darren is commissioned by God to film love. His big question is, how do you film love? So he goes to a witchcraft occult festival in, of all places, Salem, Massachusetts, to, as he says, to pick a fight, hidden cameras and be able to photograph this and the confrontation. And all day long, nothing is going on. So he says, what have I got to lose? I'm just going to put my cameras in the open. He's with an evangelist that moves in signs and wonders, and he starts taping a witch in a red hood. What happened?
Well, we start to pray for this guy, and everything, what was happening at that point is everybody that Jason was praying for when we're in the middle of this festival, they're all coming to my crew, and they're saying, that guy's better than any psychic we've ever gone to in our entire life. Like, he knew stuff about us nobody knows. And so he starts in on this witch, and I'm thinking, literally as I'm filming, I'm thinking, finally,
the confrontation.
Here we go. This is what I've been waiting for, because this guy's obviously into the occult. And so Jason starts to pray, and every single thing out of his mouth is a word of love. Everything that he's saying, he's like, I know this about you, and I know this about you, and I know this about you, and I know that you love this, I'm going to bless this, and I'm going to, all this, everything that's coming out of his mouth for like 15 minutes are words of love. And the guy's just staring at him. And I'm staring at the witch, and I'm filming. And as I'm filming, I always know when something's going to be in the movie when the Lord speaks to me while I'm filming. And the Lord spoke to me so clearly, and he said, "Do you see? I did not come here to pick a fight. I came here to love." And when I understood that, I understood it changed the whole film, because that's when I realized what I was trying to do, which is, you know, have a showdown. That's not what the Lord wants at all. And I don't think he wants it for anybody. He doesn't want to fight with you. He just wants to love you.
And the thing that was overpowering is when the witch took off his hood.
Yeah, Jason said, "I want to pray for you now," like an actual prayer of kind of blessing. And he said, "Hold on, I want to, let me uncover my head," because for them it was a sign of respect. And that was one of the most powerful things I've ever filmed.
Well, I'll tell you something else that is, I mean, the whole film was powerful, but something else that was amazing to me is Darren went with a friend of mine, Jeff Jansen, out to, where in Africa?
In Tanzania.
In Tanzania, and he sees a little tent behind the main tent. And what did you think that tent was for?
I thought we were filming a big crusade that Jeff was putting on, and I was there to kind of help him out. And I saw this little white tent, and I thought that it was for the hearing impaired. That's what I thought. And it was not for the hearing
impaired. What was it for?
It was for, well, I found out when we started film, when the crusade started, and they started carrying all these people who were manifesting the demonic. They start carrying them into this tent, and I said,
"That's the deliverance."
It's the deliverance tent, and so I remember standing outside of the tent with my camera, thinking, "Am I seriously going to do this? Do I really go into this place?" And I dove right in, and it was.
But previous to that, you had a vision that you didn't understand. Tell me about that.
3 days before I left for Tanzania, I was waking up one morning, and I wasn't quite asleep, wasn't quite awake, in that kind of in-between state. And I saw this picture, vision, whatever you want to call it. I saw it very clearly of this woman on the floor kind of screaming and shouting. And then I kind of like woke up. And I remember when I went into the tent, I was filming some things. And at one point, I looked down and I saw that woman that I had seen in my dream 3 days ago. And so I knew exactly, I'm like, this is, I dreamed about this woman. And so I knew exactly where to put the camera, exactly how close of a zoom to get, because I'd seen it all before. And so actually, that's one of the first things you see in the movie, is this vision that I had 3 days before. I thought, at first I thought, is this how God's going to have me do the whole movie? He's going to show me with the film? But it's the only time that ever happened, but it was pretty cool.
You know, there was another thing that really, I saw this film, and there's another thing that I constantly think about this. He went to Thailand. I'd heard about Thailand. There's actually cities that are built around the industry of sex.
Yes, the one that we went to in particular is called Pattaya City. And 40 years ago, it was a little tiny fishing village, and Vietnam hit and became the major stop-off for all the American soldiers. So the whole city is built around prostitution.
And there was a woman that represents the Messiah there, that's there to love all of these people caught up in the sex trade. And she was talking to a man, and the man said, "Well, look at it this way. The girls are better off than working in the rice fields, right, working in the bars and being prostitutes." And what did she say?
Well, she says, "Well, do you want to know what they tell me?" Because she goes into these bars and tries to get these women out. And she says, "Do you want to know what they tell me? They tell me that it would be better if they died today and went to hell than if they continue doing what they're doing. But they have no way to escape. Because it's different for the man, because the man is paying them to tell them how wonderful they are and how much they enjoy this. But in reality, they'd rather be in hell. That's how bad it is."
What effect did going to this area, this city that's built around the sex industry, have on you?
Well, it's hard to quantify, like, this spot affected me more than this spot. It's just kind of the whole process of making it was just, for one, it was eye-opening. But two, I didn't realize how dark the world really is. I didn't realize how much it permeates and how powerful it is. But at the same time, I had no idea how much more powerful God's love is, and how it can literally obliterate any darkness.
But you really took on quite an activity when he interviewed a woman that was bred from birth to be a bride of Satan. I know that's hard to believe, but when I saw her speaking, I knew she was speaking truth. And some of the things that she did before she became a believer. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Darren Wilson, and we're talking about his new film, Furious Love. And in that film, you have some amazing footage of a woman that was bred from birth to be a bride of Satan. But some things happened to her along the way. For instance, she went to curse, Benny Hinn. Mm-hmm. And what happened?
Yeah, well, it was a big stadium, and she and two friends went in, and basically were kind of in the third level, just throwing curses down at him while he's preaching. And in the middle of his preaching, he stops, and he points up at their section, and he says, "You three," she wasn't sure if he said, Satanists or devil worshipers. He said, "You three devil worshipers, stop cursing me. I'm a child of God." And immediately their curses rebounded back onto them, and she started to kind of manifest, and she actually had to be carried out of the stadium by her two friends shortly after.
And then there were several of her friends, and one in particular, something horrible happened to her. One of her best friends.
Yeah, it was her best friend. And in the world of extreme kind of Satanism, which is where she lived, I mean, it's not like there's no real loyalty, there's no love, there's nothing. And so this was the only friend she really had. And her friend wanted to get out. She was just sick of everything, of just how dark everything was and how horrible everything was. And they found out, the leaders found out, and they actually beat her to death in front of the woman that I interviewed. And that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, where she says, I have to get out of this.
Okay, so she did leave, and she went to a person that you interviewed that had a ministry to set people free that are possessed by demons. And is it true that when she walked in, she just moved her hand and the door flung open by itself?
Yeah, she said she used to do that all the time. Like where she just, if I wanted that cup, I wouldn't go grab it. I would just kind of like come to her hand. And so, yeah, she walked in and she, because it was just like by habit. It wasn't like I'm here. It was just by habit she threw the door open.
And what did the woman say?
And the woman took one look at her and she says, "I don't think so." "I don't think so, babe," is what she actually said. She basically... They just started the
deliverance. And her eyes were all black?
Eyes were pitch black. She said there wasn't any whites in her eyes at all. It was just pitch black.
Okay, how long did it take this top Satanist to be set free with the love and power of God?
Well, once they got the angels to hold her down, about 20 minutes.
Can you imagine this? One of the top Satanists in the world, 20 minutes... The power of God is furious. Mm. But someone that really impressed you was this Philip Mantofa.
Yes.
Tell me about him.
Philip Mantofa, easily the most impressive person I've ever interviewed, been around in my life. He's 33 years old when I filmed him, and he's the head pastor of a megachurch of 30,000 people in Indonesia. And the guy is obsessed with holiness. And he leads big, big crusades. I call him like he's kind of the Benny Hinn of the Pacific Rim.
So the top witch doctor in that area, this fella has chutzpah. That's a Hebrew word. It means nerve. He stands up with some of the members of his congregation every day. And what does he do at this witch doctor's home?
Well, he goes to the witch doctor's home. You have to understand who this witch doctor is. He's the most powerful witch doctor in the entire Pacific Rim. Okay, he would hold festivals every year where he had 27 wives. He would slit the throat of one of his wives and kill her and then raise her from the dead. Hmm. Okay, this is the kind of power that this guy was walking in. And Philip would go with some of his people, and they would just stand every day outside his home and point and say, "Repent or else in Jesus' name."
And what happened to this witch doctor?
And what happened was one night the witch doctor had a dream, and in the dream Jesus appeared. He's in white robes, and he said, "I am Jesus." And he says, I want you to go to that church, and it happened to be Philip's church. I want you to go to that church, and I want you to get baptized. And he said, I'm not going to do that. He's like, I'm more powerful than all of those Christians. Why would I become a Christian? Like, they don't have power I have. And Jesus spoke to him. He says, you will go because I am their God, and I am more powerful than you. And to prove it, I'll take your powers away. And he tapped him on the shoulder, and the guy, when he woke up immediately, and he felt a hand leaving his shoulder when he woke up, and all of his powers were gone. He could do no more magic. And he tried for 3 days, and he couldn't do anything, and he finally went to the church, and he got saved and got baptized, died 5 days later.
Hmm. Well, Darren, if we could encapsulate what you personally learned from doing this film, what would it be?
Without question. You know, when I made Finger of God, it was about helping me understand that God is still in the business of doing miracles. With this one, I grew up in the church, and so I always knew that God loves us. I knew that. But I knew it in my head. And what the process of this is, it really went from my head to my heart, where I understood that he doesn't love us like a Hallmark card. You know, he doesn't love us like the kinds of things you find in a Christian bookstore. He loves us with a ferocity, and he will fight for us, and he will battle for us, and he's not going to stop. As long as we draw breath, he's not going to stop fighting for us, because he loves us so much, and it doesn't matter if we don't even believe in him. He's passionate for us. That's what I learned.
You know, I have tasted that furious love. That's how, coming from a traditional Jewish background, that I dabbled in the New Age. I just dabbled, and I got problems with demons. And what does a Jewish person do that has problems with demons? I totally surrendered to God, and I prayed a prayer in the most desperate night of my life. Jesus, help. And the love of God overpowered the darkness. When the love of God came into my bedroom, darkness couldn't stand. And that love is the purpose of why you're watching right now. That love is going to invade you. When? That's up to God. Maybe now. But the first thing you have to do is come to know love in human form. And that's the Jewish Messiah, Jesus. And the way you know him is get clean. You can't do it by yourself, but he's paid the price for you. And by his blood, by his suffering, every bad thing you've ever done is covered by the blood and washed. You're clean when you believe what the Messiah did for you. And once you're clean, then you are a vessel that can say, I believe that Jesus is my Messiah and Lord. Come inside of me. Take over my life. I yield myself to you. I'll tell you, Darren, the love of God is so overpowering. Tell me the most important. A witch just recently saw this film. What happened to that witch?
The witch came to curse the film. And by the end of it, they went up to the person who was putting on the movie, who was a pastor, and she said, you are obviously more powerful than I am, and I want what you have. And he said, well, if you want the power, you have to find the source.
You photographed the source, love. He has a name. In Hebrew, Yeshua. In English, in Jesus. Get to know him now.